night's debate in Philadelphia on ABC. Back and forth they went, former President Donald Trump and current Vice President Kamala Harris.
Why are we allowing these millions of people to come through on the southern border?
He'd prefer to run on a problem instead of fixing a problem.
They've been trying to get Roe v. Wade into the states. And through the genius and heart and strength of six Supreme Court justices, we were able to do that.
In over 20 states, there are Trump abortion bans, which make it criminal for a doctor or nurse to provide health care. In one state, it provides prison for life. I am actually the only person on this stage who has a plan that is about lifting up the middle class and working people of America. I believe in the ambition, the aspirations, the dreams of the American people.
We're doing tariffs on other countries. Other countries are going to finally, after 75 years, pay us back for all that we've done for the world.
So after a handshake to begin the night and 90 minutes plus later, back and forth they went, and doing the fact-checking back and forth is interesting. I would encourage you to follow up, and then post-debate, ABC caught up with Donald Trump.
All I do is say the truth. I say the truth. If I lose votes or gain votes, I don't care. But this was my best debate. I thought it was very good. I thought she was very weak on foreign policy.
She
was very weak on the border. And I'm very happy.
And then in Philadelphia, Harrison addressed her constituents who had a watch party going.
Tonight, I think, highlighted for the American people what's at stake. I started the debate by talking about it, and it became apparent, I think, throughout those that about an hour and a half. We have got to win Pennsylvania. Yeah! And we are going to win Pennsylvania.
And Pennsylvania continues to be so important to both candidates, and both will continue to crisscross around the state of Pennsylvania. In fact, Kamala Harris will be here with Joe Biden. They're going to New York for the remembrance for the 9/11 dedication of and remembrance of those who lost their lives, and then they're going to the Pentagon and coming to Shanksville. So in the next half hour.
And President Trump will be in Shanksville as well, I guess, today's. Yeah.
So we're going to go live here in just a few minutes with what the plan is in Shanksville for people who would like to attend the memorial service.
I'm guessing they're having a ceremony. I don't know.
They are.
What specifically is planned, but
we have the details coming up here right after the news.
Oh, good.
At 6:30. So, in fact, that's the other big story, obviously, is the 23rd anniversary. I hate to say anniversary, remembrance.
You know, it's the wrong word for what happened, but there's really no word that fits right, right?
Yeah, so I would say the 9/11 Remembrance Day and is very, very meaningful to a lot of people, especially in this part of the country.
Have you been to Ground Zero in New York and seen the fountains?
Yes.
and the way that they've... I've never been to see that footprint of the two towers. I really want to go there and check that out.
Our brand manager, PJ Comanchik, and I went when we were there to cover a bowl game. Pitt played at Yankee Stadium then against Northwestern in the Pinstripe Bowl.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So we had a free day, and it was in December, but it was very mild and sunny, and we decided to kind of take that moment to go to that site. It is so overwhelmingly powerful. Then we went up in the new Liberty Tower.
His description of going up in that elevator in the new tower is really something.
If you haven't been, it is definitely worth doing. In fact, it was difficult to get in. I mean, the demand was so great around the Christmas time, as you can imagine, but so powerful. And then, of course, what happened at the Pentagon and here, so close to home. That aircraft flew within sight of the steel building as it was turned. It was heading west, and it was turned going back and presumably back to Washington. One of the targets they believe was the Capitol or the White House.
Mm-hmm.
And those heroes on that flight stopped them from doing that, and who knows how many lives they saved.
The courage it takes to do what they did.
Ugh.
The courage. Unbelievable. These are the same kind of heroes that stormed the beaches at Normandy on D-Day to begin the beginning of the end of the Second World War. I mean, the courage it takes to do that, knowing you're facing almost certain death.
And one of those, Todd Beamer, who we remember, was quoted as saying, "Let's roll."
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they tried to take over the cockpit. And the terrorist, as we know...
One of my favorite photographs from my most recent visit to the Shanksville Memorial is a picture of the gate through which only the families of the victims can walk out into the field where the plane went down. And I got it. It's a beautiful shot because it's backlit with the sun coming through the beams of the gate. And there's just something special about that. I don't know what it is about it. It gives me a peaceful feeling about that they're at rest now.
Well, one of our hometown heroes this year, John Vento, is part of creating a rose garden for families and people just to sit.
That was a great interview you had. That I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, I gotta get John back on to talk about that because very powerful. And then other people talking about, you know, on a much lighter side, who's going to be the quarterback Sunday for the Steelers?
Well, it looks like Justin Fields, doesn't it?
It does. Coach Tomlin in his weekly press conference yesterday said that they're going to go with Justin on because they're unsure of Russell Wilson's calf injury.
Now, these calf injuries, from what I understand, for example, another player, McCaffrey, the great running back in San Francisco, has a similar issue. And if I understand this right, Larry, it's the calf is not the worry. It's the Achilles tendon. They don't want a ruptured Achilles tendon because it apparently can result from one of these injuries.
And we saw Kirk Cousins in Atlanta coming back from his Achilles injury.
And then on Monday night, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, so right now it's Justin Fields.
So do we have a quarterback controversy? Because it sounded to me from what I heard and then what I heard in some of the analysis that it sounds like Mike Tomlin is really fired up about having Justin Fields as a starter after all.
He seemed kind of delighted in the fact that they have this issue in the sense that they got to go with Fields until Wilson is cleared to play, and then there'll be a controversy depending on what Fields does in Denver. And then, of course, they come home.
Well, it's a good place for him to get another start if he wants to show some improvement, because Denver's defense would, I think, offer him more opportunities, than the one he was up against last week. And I would also say this, Larry. Mike Tomlin has been heard to say to a reporter more than once in the past how much he is impressed with Fields' athleticism and his talent. And so this would lead me to believe that this is okay with him and he'd prefer to have Fields, as the starter.
That's why people are talking about it. We're going to talk to our sports director, Jeff Hathorn, right after the news at 8. Got a lot going on this morning. We got you covered here on the Big K Morning Show.
She weaponized. I probably took a bullet to the head because of the things that they say about me.
What we have in the former president is someone who would prefer to run on a problem instead of fixing a problem. What we have done is clean up Donald Trump's mess.
The worst president, the worst vice president in the history of our country.
So if you didn't see or hear the debate, that's pretty much how it went. Back and forth, back and forth.
Very little discussion on the issues. I went through sound clip after sound clip after sound clip this morning before the newscast and was only able to come up with so far the ones that I played at the top and the bottom of the hour, a grand total of four that actually dealt with issues. Most of it was, from what I'm hearing you say, insults.
Yeah, and they were very direct with each other. I mean, it was completely different than when Joe Biden debated Donald Trump last time.
Mm-hmm.
That debate ended up, obviously, driving Biden out of the race.
It was a remarkable night. Do you think that this is going to change much? I mean, this debate seems like, I don't know, they had the debate, it's newsworthy, but now in the aftermath of it all, what do you think?
Well, for those that support Donald Trump, no. For people that really don't know much about Kamala Harris, this was a platform that we weren't used to seeing her in. One-on-one, and as a former prosecutor, she seemed pretty comfortable in that role.
Now, I thought that would be the case, Larry. I did. I thought that she would be able to give as good as she got in the back and forth.
She basically approached it, in my opinion, like Donald Trump was somebody she was prosecuting. So, yeah, it was very, very cutting in many of the things she said. And then one of the big takeaways, obviously, is talking about the immigration. It's a serious problem no matter which side you're on, and it needs addressed. But however, when J.D. Vance suggested that they were eating Haitian immigrants were eating pets in Ohio, and then Donald Trump doubled down on that.
They're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats.
And doing the fact checking, that's not true. Now, Harris said that there was no serviceman or woman in a combat zone for the first time in history. And then they fact checked that with and really illustrated around the country, including still in Iraq and Afghanistan, we have servicemen and women.
That's correct.
So,
was she talking about combat in specific or just...
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's the other thing. When I looked, I read through a lot of the fact checking, and a lot of it was like true or false, and then there was a caveat, so it needed deeper explanation.
Right, right,
So you weren't getting that, obviously, in this case. But I would encourage people... And again, if your base is Donald Trump, you got Donald Trump. And if you don't know much about Kamala Harris, maybe you learned a little more. And if you're voting Democrat just to vote against Donald Trump, maybe it doesn't matter. So the question to your point is, who was moved to change? Who were they going to vote for? No one will know for sure. I guess we'll know after November 5th.
And Jerry Schuster, the professor at Pitt, brought this up, and I'll repeat it. He said a lot of the people who were looking at the debate were looking at it for confirmation of what they were going to do already,
that's
which is vote
smart.
For one or the other. I think that's right.
And we're going to talk to Dr. Jerry Schuster, who's a professor, University of Pittsburgh, an expert in presidential rhetoric, and was a lot of rhetoric last night.
More like a food fight, right?
Kind of. From the P.J. Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, AAA traffic powered by 23 years ago today, we remember. And we are joined by Mike Litterist, who is the public affairs specialist at the Flight 93 Memorial in Shanksville, Somerset County. Mike, appreciate your time this morning. Thanks for being with us.
Morning, Larry. My pleasure. Thanks for having us.
So the plan is, I know the park entrance opens at 7 a.m. and the grievance will be a little later in the morning. Kind of walk us through what will take place today at Flight 93 Memorial.
So you're right. Getting ready for the site to open for folks that want to come out and join the observance today. 9:45 this morning is the start of the memorial service. We'll have a few brief remarks. We'll read the names of each of the 40 passengers and crew members, and at the same time, toll the bells of remembrance in their honor. And then this afternoon at 12:45, we'll have the wreath-laying ceremony at the Wall of Names.
And for practical purposes, if people would like to come, I know it's complicated by the fact that President Biden is coming with Kamala Harris, and I understand Donald Trump will make an appearance there as well. So what do you recommend for people who want to be there today?
Probably want to plan to get here a little bit earlier than you might normally, factor in some extra time. All visitors are going to park up by the visitor center, and then we've got shuttle buses that will take them down to the Memorial Plaza. so there will be a little time necessary to get that shuttle bus and then to navigate security to get into the site.
And how many people can it accommodate? I mean, you've been through this, obviously, a number of years now since the memorial was completed. How many people do you anticipate will be in attendance today?
It's always hard to put a number on it, but, certainly we've had enormous crowds for the dedication in 2011, for the 20th anniversary in 2021. It's a wide open space here. We've got plenty of room for anybody that wants to come. It's midweek, so that probably factors into fewer crowds than we might see in a year that might be a little more crowded.
All right, Mike, we'll let you get a coffee, too. You got that tickle in your throat. I've been there, brother. But I appreciate you being with us today. Thank you.
Thanks, Larry.
It's Mike Litterist, who works at the memorial. He is a public affairs specialist, and you can get details, kdkradio.com, put a link. And, Paul, have you ever been to the site?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And describe for people what's there. What can they see? What struck you when you went?
Well, the tower hadn't been finished when I was there. There's a tower of bells that is there that is, to me, one of the big attractions. Each of these bells represents a person that was on the plane,
right,
on the 757. There's a marble wall. It's kind of like panels that are perhaps, 10 feet high by maybe 4 feet across. And each one of those panels has one of the passengers or crew members' names on them. One of the most touching things I saw when I was there, they had a little setup where people could leave a note. They had like a custom note paper there, and you could write a message and post it on a pegboard, on a bulletin board. And I stood there and read those, and I broke down.
Yeah.
The things that people said.
Oh, it's so hard.
Yeah.
Well, the park entrance opens at 7, observance at 9:45, free, of course, and open to the public. And
I would also say this, there's a wonderful sense of peace there, and it's very beautiful.
And there is also a chance they're live streaming these services, so there's a way to find that. We'll link it through kdkradio.com. Families dealing with cancer, I don't know a single person that doesn't know somebody or personally hasn't had that experience. And Dr. Sarah Miller with Allegheny Health Network joins us to talk about their integrative oncology approach, the clinic at Allegheny General Hospital. Dr. Miller, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
One of the things that I think a lot of people would be interested to know about your integrative oncology program is the holistic approach that complements the other more traditional ways that we treat people dealing with cancer. Tell us about it, please.
Yeah, exactly. So we wanted to be able to offer our patients more than the standard chemotherapy, radiation, and surgery. We kind of wanted to approach the patient as a person and kind of pick out other types of services that could benefit them. So one very common thing we offer is acupuncture, massage therapy. We have behavioral health services and then a lot of care and cosmetic classes and wig services to help patients look and feel their best throughout treatment.
Yeah, one of the things, massage therapy, tactile, that feeling, people in a lot of cases don't have that. It can be very healthy just in general.
Exactly. Yeah, it leads to a decrease in anxiety and overall feeling of well-being and a decrease in pain. And it also helps patients relax and it can help with sleep as well.
I have to say, I really appreciate the overall approach. It's a more comprehensive way instead of just the clinical ways that many people are accustomed to or have known for years.
Yeah, I always say to my patients, it's like when they're in the medical oncology office and we're talking about different chemotherapy treatments, it's like they're picking from a menu from a restaurant they don't want to be at. So this is kind of providing them a choice of things that, you know, that they would want to do and could only complement their care in a side effect free.
What is it like, and it must be very difficult, and I've gone through this talking to people so close and losing family members and friends, when somebody gets a cancer diagnosis, regardless of what it is, it takes their breath away at first. What do you recommend they do? Because the unknown is the greatest fear.
Exactly. So whenever they establish care with their providers, the first thing to do is ask for community resources, because in Pittsburgh, we have a lot of wonderful nonprofits that can really support the patients and their caregivers throughout this process. And just if they know anyone personally that's gone through the journey, having an advocate and tell you what questions to ask your providers. We also at AHM want to be kind of like the sounding board. When they come in, we want to know what kind of services and specifically to the individual would be helpful for them to get through this.
And what's on the horizon to treat cancer?
Oh, so many things, which is good. So medically speaking, there's a lot of advances in immune therapy and targeted therapies. We're trying to move more away from the standard conventional chemotherapies into newer approaches. So overall, things are going in the right direction, just a long way to go still, for sure.
One of the issues that I hear, Doc, and I'm sure you do too, is when somebody gets a cancer diagnosis and then they're waiting for testing or they don't know yet, and it takes so long in some cases to get results. Are we making strides in speeding up that process?
I know it's a constant battle. And I'll tell you that, you know, we'll have a busy month and things will take longer to get done. It's very unpredictable, but I know everyone at all institutions in Pittsburgh are doing the best they can to provide those results as quick as possible. But it is the waiting and the not knowing. I talk about this with my patients all the time, is the hardest part. Like, once you know what you're dealing with and you have a plan,
right,
then it's much more easier to cope and deal with what you have to do.
Well, we appreciate the work that you and your medical team and staff do here. Dr. Sarah Miller, oncologist, and their opening their second integrative oncology clinic at Allegheny General Hospital. Thank you, Doc, for all the good work you do.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a great day.